God's attributes, sources of unceasing flow of blessings. One of the things that you must look at, if you are going to dwell in an unceasing flow of God's blessings, constantly favored anywhere you go, divine favor anywhere you go, you are untouchable. I said the first thing is, hallelujah, you prodigal son, come back home. Repent. Take a look at your life again and repent. Our Father, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It is in his power. Only God can give true riches. For it is God that giveth thee power to make wealth. The second source. After you have come home, learn how to live at home. It's not just that you have come home. I have repented, I have come back. You repent from what? Learn now how to live as a family with our Heavenly Father. And there is a characteristic of God. And that characteristic is charity. So the second point is, put on charity. The why charity? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. He said, be ye therefore perfect. Be ye therefore perfect. Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And what is this perfection? Why did he say so? In the statue, listen, in the statue of your growth to perfection, this perfection, there is a growth, you grow to that level, add to your faith. So the foundation is faith. There are seven steps there, seven steps. Seven is God's number for perfection. Now your faith is that you've given your life to Christ, you are now a Christian. So build on that faith. Don't just say you are now a Christian, you go to church, you clap your hands, you come back, and then you go. Steps to perfection. He said, be ye perfect. It means you can attain that perfection. Don't let anybody tell you nobody can be perfect. Jesus himself was the one that made this statement. Be ye perfect. Perfection is in Christ himself. Perfection is in God. If he said, be you perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, it means he gives the ability for that perfection. Sources of unceasing flow of blessings. Okay, let's do some Bible study. We continue where we stopped. But before you sit down, let's pick our text from Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, I read three verses there from verse 7. It's a text. Can we be on our feet? Let's just pick that text in honor of the word of God. That's why we stand up. When you sing Nigerian national anthem or your country's anthem, national anthem, you stand up to show respect. This is our heavenly anthem, the word of God himself. Let's honor the word. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, 8, and 9. It says, be not deceived. That means don't deceive yourself. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. May the Lord bless us today through the hearing of his word in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Be seated. Be seated. And we are continuing our study, and we have so many scriptures to read. And write them down. When you go back and meditate. We're looking at the topic we titled Sources of Unceasing Flow of Blessings. Sources of Unceasing Flow of Blessings. Sources of Unceasing Flow. The Bible tells us we are blessed, we believers, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Heavenly places. Our blessings flow from God Himself. Listen, there is, in the Bible, there is a doctrine that God says He hates. That doctrine, He calls it the doctrine of Balaam. And I have preached a message that I titled The Doctrine of Balaam. Listen very well. What is this doctrine of Balaam? Balak hired Balaam to come, and King Balak hired Prophet Balaam to come and curse the children of Israel. Any prophet that will attempt to curse any child of God, you are another Balaam. And you are wasting your time. Go and see how Balaam ended. That is how you will end too. Anyway, God told Balaam as he went to inquire, these people you want to curse, I have blessed them. And whom God has blessed, no one can curse. Do you believe it? I say, whom God has blessed, no one can curse. No, you don't believe it. Whom God has blessed, no man can curse. You don't understand. Praise the Lord. Dictionary meaning of blessing is, you know, blessings of God is God's blessing, blessing, blessing. The meaning of blessing in the Christian context is God's favor and protection. God's favor and protection. If God has decided to bless you by granting you a divine favor and protection, and you got a favor and you got a job, and somebody there wants to frustrate you from a job that God gave you, then you understand what it means. Whom God has blessed, no man can curse. Okay, that's not where I am going. So he told them, he told Balak, these people, oh, you're wasting your time. Oh. If you try to hire anybody to curse them, it will never work. But let me tell you how you can make them to be in trouble. It will be worse than me cursing them. Let them have problem with that God. Let them create problem for themselves with God, so that God will be angry because of what they are doing and smite them by himself. This is Balaam. This is what you will do. And we know the feast of Baal. And you know how he organized those naked women and pretended and told them, oh, you people have been traveling in the wilderness. You know we are brethren. You know, come, let's come. Just have some feast together before you pass and go on. And these people who have been in the wilderness and they are not supposed to join themselves with unbelievers. What has light got to do with darkness? What has a believer got to do with an infidel? being not unequally yoked with unbelievers. But they went and yoked themselves and began to commit fornication with these unbelievers. And God got angry and smote all of them. One day, 24,000 died. That is the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine that will make you to have problem with your God. And what is it? It's a doctrine. It's a voice. It's a teaching. Whether it is from you, an attitude from you that will cause you to refuse to walk according to the principles of God. To cause you to disobey God. If you disobey God, you are finished. God is bound by his principles. Church, hallelujah. Learn these principles. That's all I'm trying to tell you. Will you allow this year to end as bad as last year ended for you, somebody? God did not ordain you to suffer like that. God did not ordain his children to suffer the way some of us are suffering. God did not ordain you until you cannot pay your children's school fees. You cannot pay your house rent. Until you live only by begging. If you don't beg, you will not survive. And you will soon go to a prophet, and the prophet will tell you it is a witch in your family that is tying you. Are you under this grace of God, or you are flowing in another realm? Who is that witch to hold you when the Bible says, if God be for us, who will be against us? Church, it's time for us to take a look at our lives. Instead of putting blame, it's easier to put a blame on someone. But some of us don't know that the greatest enemy you have is yourself. The greatest enemy you have is yourself. God himself has set these principles. Last week, we looked at one of the things that you must look at. If you are going to dwell in an unceasing flow of God's blessings, constantly favored, anywhere you go, divine favor, anywhere you go, you are untouchable. I said the first thing is, hallelujah, you prodigal son, come back home. Repent. Take a look at your life again and repent. Our Father, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It is in his power. Only God can give true riches. Is somebody understanding me? For it is God that giveth the power to make wealth. I'm saying this because many of us don't understand. You come to Christianity, you see a God that is so mysterious. Instead of you to take time and study him so that you will know how to walk with him. Instead of bothering, taking more time to study him, that is why you have to study the word. Your own is just religion. Just religion. To learn about him, that is why we allow testimonies. So that people will see how God works. To learn how to walk with him, that's why we have the Bible stories as examples for us. And he says, I am the Lord, I change it not. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the word of God abided forever. It is thus saith the Lord. He, God, when he speaks, it does not return to him void. When he speaks, he is bound by his own word. And there is no special, the only special child of God is that child that will allow his life to be guided by God's word. That will not be a hearer only, but will be a doer also of the word of God. Of what benefit is it if you are hearing something and you don't practice it. Of what benefit is seeing word of God to you when you have no confirmation of the reality of that word? I see a lot of things by virtue of my office as a pastor. I hear a lot of things. I see a lot of things. Condition of God's people. I see people who I know try their best to live a holy life. But holiness is only part of it. You can live a holy life and go to heaven, very holy, but on earth here, very, very poor. A very poor, miserable, holy child of God. Me, Azuvakpa, it will not be my portion. Kai, not be my portion. It can't be my portion. And it must not be your portion. Somebody said it cannot be my portion. Somebody touch your ear. Say, hear something. Moses Alu, hear something. Hear something. Hear something. Hear something. If the prodigal son had remained where he is, he would not have jammed all the trouble he jammed. But watch it. When he came back home, he was restored. And he began to enjoy again. May somebody come back to the word. Come back to the principle. Come back to God and begin to enjoy the benefits of the cross in the name of Jesus Christ. The second source. Listen, praise the Lord. After you have come home, listen very well. After you have come home, amen. Learn how to live at home. It's not just that you have come home. I have repented, I have come back. You repent from what? Learn now how to live as a family with our Heavenly Father. And there is a characteristic of God. And that characteristic is charity. So the second point is put on charity. The second source of God's unceasing flow of blessing number two is to put on charity. What is charity? Hallelujah. Why charity? I mean to say, why charity? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. It said, be ye therefore perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And what is this perfection? Why did he say so? In the stature, listen, in the stature of your growth to perfection, this perfection, there is a growth, you grow to that level. That is what Apostle Peter was lining up for us in 2 Peter chapter 1. This is the journey to perfection. This is the journey to perfection. From verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Let's read it up to verse 12. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith what? Virtue. I've tried to explain this in previous messages. Add to your faith. So the foundation is faith. There are seven steps there. Seven steps. Seven is God's number for perfection. Now your faith is that you've given your life to Christ. You are now a Christian. So build on that faith. Don't just say you are now a Christian. You go to church, you clap your hands, you come back, and then you go. It's more than that. Let's read on, please. It says, add to that faith virtue. Let me not waste time on that. And add, that is, let your faith be attractive. Add to your virtue, what? To that virtue, what? You have to build, though. You have to add. Add to that virtue, what? Knowledge. And add to that knowledge, temperance. You are growing, though. It's a journey. It's a journey of, to perfection. And add to your temperance, patience. And add to your patience, what? Godliness. And add to godliness what? Brotherly kindness. And add to brotherly kindness what? What are you to add? The last one is what? Charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. I can even stop here. I read that verse again, verse 8 again. For if these things be in you, the stature of perfection, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren. No evidence that you're a Christian. Nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, as far as the pathway of salvation is concerned, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, see another meaning of this verse 10. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If I am called, then why is my condition like this? Give diligence, therefore, see the steps. See, this God's blessing is both physical and spiritual. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That is, be able to confirm by the testimonials around you that you are chosen of God. That you're the bride of Jesus Christ. What a bride receives, what a wife receives, a concubine does not receive. What a wife enjoys with a husband, a girlfriend, concubine, can never near it. Bride of Jesus Christ. You are bride, then you are a beggar. Some people are waiting for church to end now, so that they will jump from brother to brother, sister to sister. I beg, find me transfer money to go home. It's an error. Jesus says, more blessed to give than to receive. Let's read on. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. He said, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this entrance that he's talking about is not just eternal life. He's talking to people who already have eternal life. Eternal life, you don't walk out eternal life. No, you walk yourself to profit while in eternity. Listen, let's read that verse again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When he says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. And the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ is peace, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy. That is Romans 14, verse 17. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Which peace do you have when you can't pay your children's school fees? Which joy do you have when debts are frustrating you up and down? What joy do you have when you can't pay your house rent? It's not the apron of your church that you wear that will identify you as a child of God. Yes. There are things that when they see you, there will be evidence. From seeing you, evidence. There is a life of contentment that you have. I'm not talking of super wealth. I'm talking of contentment. that your needs are supplied appropriately. Your needs are supplied appropriately. And I'm saying this because in that steps to perfection, he said, be ye perfect. It means you can attain that perfection. Don't let anybody tell you nobody can be perfect. If we cannot be perfect, then why did God, Jesus himself was the one that made this statement, be ye perfect. Perfection is in Christ himself. Perfection is in God. If he said, be you perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect, it means he gives the ability for that perfection. He does. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And charity here, this is the way Apostle Paul put it in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, concerning charity. Amen. I read it. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 14. He says, and above all these things, he said, put on charity. And this is where I'm going. He said, which is the bond of perfectness? Charity is the finality of perfection. It's the bond of perfectness. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. The last verse in that very wonderful chapter. This is what Apostle Paul said. And now abided faith. You say you have faith, Abby? Revelation. He said the next one is hope. The next one is charity. These three. Faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. The bond of perfection. The greatest of it. What is charity? Charity is God's kind of love. Charity is God's kind of love. I explained that in several sermons in the past. Hallelujah. Charity is the nature of God. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, he said, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. I have a reason for stressing this. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. That is the love of God. Herein is love, not that we loved God. You see, the love of God, now the kind of God, kind of love now, is not contractual love. It's not the type of love you love someone for what you are getting from that person or you are hoping to get from that person. It's not contractual love. Verse 10. Not that we loved God, but that he is the one that loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Through his Spirit we know we dwell in him. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. That's my emphasis. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. Take note that the evidence that you dwell in God and God in you is not the vision that you see. It's not the miracle, signs, and wonder that take place when you are ministering. Pastor Moses, it's not the healing and deliverance. The evidence that you dwell in God, number one evidence, is love. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in that day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. And how is he? He is love. How are we to be identified here? We are to also be identified by love. And this love is God's kind of love. It is called charity. There is no fear in this type of love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect. You know what it means by this verse? When I want to do good to you, I am not afraid what will be the outcome of my being good to you. The love of God is unconditional. You need my love. You need something from me, and I have it. I'm in position to do it for you. That is why I am doing it. I am not afraid of what you will do with it. Hey, don't carry the money and give them. Oh, if you give them, they say they are witches. They will carry it to a shrine. So because of it, you are seeing that the person has need. You see, Kurokuro, he has need, and he's even coming to beg you to help. But because you are afraid of what may be the result of your action. No, this is what he's saying here. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear has a torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And verse 19. Why do we love him? We love him because he first loved us. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. You see the reason why you have to love God? Amen. Now, and verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him. It's a commandment. That he who loveth God, love his brother also. Is a commandment. Praise the Lord. God's kind of love. Do you know why? I started by reading a scripture that it is what you sow that you reap. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, it said, while the earth remaineth, among other things, seed time and the harvest shall not cease. Seed time and the harvest shall not cease. Listen now, source of unceasing flow of blessings. Why charity? Listen, because, hallelujah, because if it is what you sow that you will reap as a general law, then it is what proceeds from everything that proceeds from you to another human being is a seed. Every action from you to another fellow human being is a seed. And every seed that you plant, there is a harvest. that somebody, you will know the effect of all the gossip. You gossip people, you lie against people. You don't know it is a seed you are releasing, you are sowing. And every act of kindness to a fellow human being, it is also a seed that you are sowing. Oh, praise the Lord.